Lord, we pick up the word of God this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, that you do what nobody can do. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you change us from glory to glory. God, bless all these people that are faithful to you and faithful to the kingdom. God, bless their offerings 10,000-fold, Jesus, and prosper them, God. Prosper them mightily. And God, we pray for Jamie Hooten right now, God. We pray, Jesus, as he goes to this week-long school in Chicago, first give him a safe flight there, God. Take away the fear and the stress of passing or failing, God, that he'll just be relaxed and he will do well. And God, you will complete the good work you've started. Anybody else? Somebody was sick this morning. Or we pray for Laura right now, God. We thank you that you completely touch her body and heal her, God. In Jesus' name, completely restore, God. Complete that good work you've started, Jesus. Man, if them youth group testimonies didn't get you ready for healing, you know. Awesome worship this morning, by the way. All right, praise the Lord. Go to John chapter 3. I want to talk about love a little bit this morning. Back when I was growing up, long time ago in a place far, far away, how many of y'all grew up in the 60s? A few of you? Yeah. 1967 was called the Summer of Love. Really, it was a summer of lust, but it was touted that it was a summer of love, and a song came out by the Beatles, and it was, all you need is love, da-da-da-da-da, all you need is love, da-da-da-da-da, all you need is love, love, love is all you need. I know that wasn't very good. I apologize to you. But the point is those are good lyrics. Those are good lyrics, but they weren't meaning the kind of love. There's four words for love in the Greek. And we need to know which ones we're to follow, don't we? So one word for love in the Greek is eros, which is what? Passion, lust. Of course, in marriage, it's a good thing, but outside of marriage, it's sin. And, that was loosed on this nation in the 60s where it was called the free love generation. Like I say, that song is love will take care of a multitude. Love will cover a whole lot of things. If it's the proper kind of love. Storge is also a name for love, and it signifies the natural affection between kinfolks, like moms and dads and grandma and grandpas, and it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Phileo is where they got the word Philadelphia, which was a perfect church, wasn't it? In Revelations, is one of the seven churches. There were only two that were found perfect, and one of them was Philadelphia, and it means brotherly love. It means friendship love. It's what causes people to give their life for a friend or give their life for their family member. It's an awesome thing. We need that kind of love. But the last kind of love was called agape love. Agapeo, agape, what? Oh, well, no, and agape love, I can't prove this, but it's been said that they had to come up with a new word in Greek for the love of God, because that means unconditional love. That means I would love you and do something for you because I loved you, and I would expect nothing back for it. I did. Everlasting love? Well, that's not what it says in the Strong's, but that's okay. It is everlasting love. You're right. It does last forever. Love never dies. Real love never dies, you know. Jesus will love you for eternity, won't he? He says he'll reach to the highest heavens or he'll reach to the lowest hells. His love never dies. But he loves you enough to give you a choice, doesn't he? Love is free, right? But it costs Jesus everything. Let's read John 3. I thought this was appropriate, and the only kind of loves I'm going to mention from the Bible today are going to be agape, or agapeo, or however you want to pronounce this. In verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." What kind of signs is Nicodemus talking about? Come on, class. What kind of signs did he do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, deaf to hear, cast out devils. Yeah, that pretty much anything else? Sight to the blind. Water to wine. Miracles. Signs, wonders, miracles. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born, procreated, regenerated, caused to rise, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, most assuredly means what? It's really strong. What's it mean? This is a sure deal. This is a sure statement I'm getting ready to make. I'm not just flippantly throwing this out here. This is God's plan. Guaranteed. You're right. For sure. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What's he mean by this? You got to be saved. You got to be saved. But you know what, Chuck? You was a little bitty, wee little baby in a womb. All of y'all was wee little babies in a womb at one time, and you were surrounded by water. Yeah. And when you were born because you ever heard right before you deliver or several hours, it's what happens? You're a pro.
What happens?
Your water breaks.
Your water breaks. So you're born, everybody's born. You were born of water. We were all surrounded by water. We were all born naturally at one time. He says, unless one is born of water, unless you're born the first time, you can't be born again unless you were born physically, right? But then it says, unless you're born of water and what? The Spirit, you cannot inherit eternal life. So you got to be born physically, and then you've got to be born spiritually because your spirit man's dead. Your spirit man's dead. You've got a soul, you've got a body, but your spirit man's dead. Why is it dead? Because Adam and Eve chose to sin, and when that happened, he said, when you do that, when you eat off that tree, if you disobey me and eat off that tree, what happened? That day you will die. And Satan said, will you really die? Questioning God's word, surely you will not really die if he's a good God, right? Is it getting cool in here? No, it's, I like to keep everybody. Yeah. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. What's that mean? Do not be confused. Do not be mystified. Do not be confused. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And I was thinking about when you're born the first time, what happens? What's it like? For one thing, you're naked. You're naked, you have no clothing on, you have no protection, you just came out of a totally safe environment, and bam, there you are. You're naked. Hiding nothing. Right? You're not hiding anything the first time around, man. You are right there. Number two, you are helpless. You're helpless. Everything, you're in need of everything that happens. You cannot leave a newborn baby. You couldn't leave a newborn baby with bottles all around him and go off for a week and expect to come back and find a live baby, could you? That baby has to have somebody to even give the bottle or breastfeed. He can't make it on his own, can he? Your brain, his brain, her brain is clear, right? It's like a computer that's never had any information put on it at all. It is pure and clean. There's no guilt. There's no shame, right? There's still original sin, for sure, because you can see how long does it take to see a baby being selfish. I don't know at what point in time, but it don't take long when you got a brother or sister and they're fighting over a toy. You see that it comes naturally. Or maybe they watch mom and dad. I don't know. But so your brain is clear and free from any defects. You are innocent, right? You're innocent. You have perfect trust. You trust mama to do. Now, they don't always get what they deserve, but you trust your mama. You trust your daddy, right? In fact, you trust strangers even, right? The baby has no issue with trust, does he? And you're not ashamed to ask for your needs to be met, are you? Oh, I'm hungry, but I don't want to bother mommy. She's sleeping. She's sleeping right now. I don't want to bother mama. My diaper's wet. No problem. No problem, mama. Get busy. And I was thinking it's the same when we're born of the Spirit. We're naked before God. We're naked and we're pure. And no matter what we did in our whole life, we're like brand new, right? We are brand new. So what else when we get born again, what happens? You're innocent again, right? You're innocent, even though the devil will tell you, Sarah, you know what you did? Ugh, that's unforgivable. No, it's under the blood. And the enemy will try to get you to revert back to the flesh and say, what a bad girl am I, what a bad boy am I. But that's not the truth. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You are helpless. How many of y'all know when you're first born again? Yes, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us, but your hard drive is empty. You don't have all that. You need to get that information in your spirit and your mind so you can do the greater things of God, but you're totally, that's why it's so important to read the Bible. Young people, old people, because that's what fills that hard drive with good things, and it even erases the bad things. It does. It cleanses you. What's the Word of God? It's powerful. It's mighty. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to do incredible things, but you got to put it in there. You got to believe it. You got to walk in it. And it's. I'm not painting this as a bad thing. It's a joy to get in the Word of God. But it's just like when you're a baby and, you know, the time comes when you're 5 or 6 years old to go off to public school, or you're blessed to homeschool and you start learning things. And not everybody wants to get up and go to school. I know y'all all did, but I didn't sometimes. It's the last thing I wanted to do. But you know what? I learned. And God grew me up to where I could hold down a job and I could take care of myself. Well, God wants to come in and He wants you to be able to hold down that fort. He wants you to go out and be able to do great exploits. But He needs to put that life in you through the Word. When a baby, again, when you come to Jesus, you can have perfect trust in him. Just like a baby can have perfect trust in his mama. Mama's going to let you down. Even as good as you mamas are, mamas are going to, they're going to miss it sometimes. But Jesus never misses it. And sometimes we go through fiery trials and temptations and we think, well, God, where were you? He was right there. He's going to use it for your good and your growing if you can get rid of that complaining spirit. We can't complain. We've got to say, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If anybody had temptation to complain, it's been the last several weeks trying to deal with government welfare, Medicaid, sitting in a room for 5 or 6 hours looking at the wall, waiting. And so I had to go back the next day and I thought, God, what, you know, you could have. We prayed that this would go smoothly. No, really. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Well, I had to get up again at 6 o'clock, had to go stop at White Castle on Broadway and give me a cup of coffee and head over to the L&N building. I'm like, so I go in, I'm leaving White Castle with my coffee, and this guy comes up and says, hey, man, you got a couple bucks for a meal? Used to be 50 cents. Hey, man, you got a couple bucks for a meal? Was he homeless? He was a wino. I'm just telling you, that's what he was. I said, I was getting ready to reach in my pocket and give it to him in Jesus' name. I thought, no. I said, can I go in there and buy you a meal? He said, well, yeah, man, no problem. So we went in there and I bought him breakfast and told him about Jesus. And, of course, he knew about Jesus, but it's just another seed for this man. Just another seed. So God took, if I had to sit there for 3 or 4 hours, it would have been worth it if this guy got the love of Jesus, that he knew that somebody cared for him and loved him enough to buy him a meal. And it wasn't me, it was Jesus. I said, it's not me, buddy, because I'm in a hurry. No, really. I mean, really, it wasn't me. It wouldn't be what I would have chose to do, but that's God's heart, you know, coming through us. In verse 8, it says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? What's he referring to? Jesus is referring to the cross that's getting ready to happen. But what happened to Moses? There was this plague that was sent upon the whole tribe of Israel, wasn't there? It was a plague, and it was people were dropping like bam, 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 bam. It was serpents biting them, and they were dropping like flies. They were complaining. You're right. That's the whole reason the plague was sent among them. But God said, put a brass serpent on a pole and hold it up, and whoever looks upon this will be healed. Kind of like the prophecy in the Bible, Isaiah, that says, by his stripes we are healed. You know what that brass serpent is? You go in the doctor's office and look. That's their little medical symbol, is the brass serpent on a pole. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus is our brass serpent on the pole. If he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. If we pray in the name of Jesus, he's a healer. He's a deliverer. And he didn't stop at the cross. He didn't stop the first time around. All right, I'll get into the meat, okay? Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved, and that's agape, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that's God's love. But I want you to go to Luke 7. Two men owed some money to a creditor. I'm going to paraphrase this to get it out of the way quicker. Two men owed money to a creditor. One of them owed 500 denarii, and one of them 50. You know what a denarii was, Samuel? It's like a day's wages. One of them owed almost 2 months' wages to this man. The other one owed 500 days' wages, which would have been, what, a year and a half of wages? He said he wiped out the debt on both of them. He said, which one will love him the most? Which one will be the most thankful for that debt forgiven? What would you think, Sarah?
The one with the most debt, right?
Would y'all think that? Did you ever notice sometimes people that are deep, deep, deep into deep, dark sin, they seem to be more thankful. They seem to be more grateful. Well, I mean, it just makes, Jesus says, well, that makes total sense. Because the reason he told that parable, because he knew that he was getting ready to speak life on this woman, right? This woman had come in while he was with the Pharisees, and they were having their little dinner, and their whole goal was to ask him questions and trip him up and, you know, be religious with him, right? And he said, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And, of course, the ones that sat at the table were freaked out, but they said, only God can forgive sins. And it's like, well, go to John 14. We've been talking about agape love, and we can walk in agape love too, can't we? Jesus says, if you love me, if you agape me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So if we love the Father and we keep his commandments, he says he will love us, but he will also manifest himself to us. What's a manifestation? We always think of a manifestation as a demon, right? Y'all ever seen a demon manifest? It's proof. It's proof that this person's being controlled by something other than God or themselves. They're no longer in their right mind anymore. They're being controlled. Well, the Holy Spirit has manifestations too. What are the manifestations of the Spirit of God? Praying in the Spirit. What's that? Signs, wonders, miracles. Some people fall down. Some people shake. Some people go, honey, where are we from? I mean, no, really. That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you come to this altar and you kneel down and say, God, save me. Wash me. That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "You, Samuel, you've already made the choice to follow Jesus. But if you were to have been a little rebellious, you could have said, well, you know what? I don't want to do it now, but when I get ready, I'm going to do it. You know, the Bible says you cannot come to the Lord unless you're drawn. You cannot come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws you, the Father draws you. Who was the guy in the Bible that Paul was like witnessing to him and witnessing to him and witnessing to him? He said, thou almost has persuaded me to be a Christian. His name was, who was it? Festus? It was one. Who? Yeah, it was King Agrippa. It was King Agrippa. He said, thou has almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He said, I'll see you at another time about this matter. There is no account in the Bible that there ever was another time. He gave away his opportunity to be saved. Those songs that they were singing up there, man, they're incredible songs. Did you know the one, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news. That's scripture. Did y'all hear the song about yes, Lord, we will ride. Yes, Lord.
We will stand up and fight. Oh,
come on. Stand up and fight. We will ride with the armies of heaven. We'll be dressed in white. We'll be dressed in white. We say, yes, Lord, we will ride. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Y'all know what that's about? The Bible says Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back when the signs of the times are in fullness. Man, we are almost there, praise God. We are almost there. It says he's coming back for a spotless bride. And you know what? I know there's been some crummy movies made, some really bad movies made about the rapture, but it's got people interested in and when he's coming and what part of the tribulation or blah, blah, I don't, you know. It don't matter. He said, I'm coming back.
Yep. Come on now. Come on.
And about like two men will be standing in the field. Bing! One taken. One left. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still.
Sweet open.
So it's going to happen. And yes, there'll be pilotless jet planes crashing all over the earth. There'll be car wrecks. The Waterson Expressway will be like unpassable. Why? Because somebody driving their car is not going to be there anymore. It's going to be driving itself. Whoa! I used to have a bumper sticker. You know what it said? In case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Back when I used to buy cute little bumper stickers. But no, really. And that's, he said, pray, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah, I love that sound. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come, I like that. Come on. it for me, brother. No, I didn't tell you to nurse it. Praise the Lord. Awesome. I love that sound. But God's coming. You know, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He is coming. He's coming. He's coming quickly. He's in a hurry. He's in a hurry. There used to be a hymn. I think it was in the Baptist hymnals more than it was at the Methodist church where I went, but Jesus is coming soon. Might be, see, morning, night, or noon. Many will meet the groom. Jesus is coming. And another verse said, Jesus is coming soon. Might be morning, night, or noon. Many will meet their doom. Jesus is coming. So it's going to be good for some. And it's going to be the worst time it's ever been on this planet for others. Do you know Him? Are you walking with Him? Man, you know Jesus wants to do awesome things in your life, but you got to allow Him to. Man, you've got all this, a lot of y'all, man, you got all this scripture. You've got all this Bible verses in your head, and you've got all these things that God wants to do. Your hard drive has got good stuff on it. Just take that step of faith. Be a doer of the word, man. He wants you to do incredible exploits for the kingdom because the time is short. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. I believe He wants to give you a gift this morning. You guys could go up there and play something if you wanted to. If you wanted to. You know, there were some kids at my school, I'm sure not at your school, but their mom and dad said, when you turn 16 years old, if you're a good boy or a good girl and you don't drink and you don't get in trouble and this and that, I'm going to buy you a brand new car. That wasn't me, but no, really, there are. And if you've got that kind of blessing in your life, I don't suggest you waste it on your kid with a new car because they're probably going to wreck it. But, you know, a good parent that promises things like this, if we do our part, they would do their part, wouldn't they? And how much more will God do what He has promised us? So, first off, if you don't know Jesus, come up here. If you're away from Him, if you've got sin, if you've got things that separate you from Him, come up here and get clean. Come up here and just bow at this altar and get clean before God. He will wash you. He will pour His presence out upon you without measure. He promised. But I just felt I needed to make an altar call for all of y'all that are carrying around prophecies. They line up with Scripture, and you know it's the Word of God, and you know it's God's destiny for you. But it's like, oh, when, God, when? When, God, when? Let's just come up here and make a fresh proclamation of that Word that God has given you, that you will see it come to pass. And if there are things in our life that we need to get lined up to get that Word to come to pass in our life, good things, holy things, Nina, good things God's promised you. Good things He's promised you. Just come up here in agreement with Him. Good things. Come up and say, God, I agree with You. I agree with Your Word, God. I claim Your Word. I stand upon Your Word. God, You will complete. If you got that, come up here. God, You will complete the good work You started in me, God. I need more. I need to see Your promises fully filled in my life. Come on, come on. I know Pastor Paul told me he's been waiting. He's 80 years old. He's been waiting for many years to see some things come to pass, and they're starting to come to pass, the promises of God. So don't grow weary. Come on up. Come on up and just believe and claim what God has promised you. Come on. Come on.